This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast, Texans Chiefs on Saturday. Saturday, but with the usual Sunday schedule. 9 a.m. Texans countdown, noon kick, post-game following. And then we get to watch football on Sunday, man. Gotten to do that way more this year than in previous years.
Yeah.
We're thankful for the primetime games. We're thankful the Texans are relevant enough to give us a few Sundays to watch, to just sit and do what America does, watch football all day. We get one of those this weekend. I'm very excited
about
that.
So Saturday, having a game on Saturday followed immediately by a game 5 days later, which is just, it's like a normal Thursday game situation. That's the way I've been.
It's usually Sunday, Thursday. This time it's Saturday, Wednesday.
This is how I'm looking at it. The only real challenge of this three-game stretch is this week. Because it's a short week, and so this is the week leading up to just what's an all out sprint,
yeah.
And you're gonna go. So you have to play on short rest, but it's a 1 day short rest, no big deal after your bye week, and then it's just like you're playing a Thursday night game, and then you get another little mini bye week before the final game of the season.
Yeah, it is. We're gonna have to go like another 10 days, 11 days with no football, and then the build up to that is the Titans, who may or may not be starting Will Levis. He got benched yesterday. Which the initial reaction to any benching of Will Levis is to point at Will Levis like Nelson on The Simpsons and go, ha-ha!
Yeah.
Except he threw for 278 against us a month ago.
The weirdest thing about this defense from the last 2 years is their ability to underperform versus genuinely bad quarterbacks.
Desmond Ridder,
it's
Bryce
so
Young,
weird.
Zach Wilson.
So I'm kind of hoping that this is just. What if Pat Mahomes is actually a mediocre quarterback?
Janky Aaron Rodgers.
Everybody's like, oh no, you don't want to wait. Vintage Pat Mahomes could come out at any moment. No, I'm worried that he's going to get worse.
Yep.
And then he's going to go all Zach Wilson on our asses.
Yeah.
Like we're a 48-year-old housewife.
Oh my God. So D'Amico Ryan's got asked the question that I think he's going to continually get asked here, game by game, which is, are you thinking about resting guys now that you have clinched a playoff?
See if you can guess what the answer is.
Yeah, for me, it's anytime you strap it up, it's time to go compete and win. I don't know any other way. I don't see how anybody else could find any other way. Like, our guys put a lot of work into going out, putting their bodies on the line to go compete. So that's what it'll be about. One game at a time mentality still hasn't changed. Just because, you know, we won the AFC South, our approach is still the same. Go out and play good football, get better in all three phases.
So this is what you cannot do with the Texans offense. You cannot have any kind of opportunity to invite any kind of attitude of, hey, we made it. There is not a chance in hell. You just can't do that. If you actually want to advance in the playoffs this year, you've got to get the offense improved. Is it marginally? Is it a huge amount? Whatever it is, they've got to get better. And you can't treat any of these games like you're in the, like they treated the preseason, where, hey, no big deal if the offensive line doesn't all play together, and even if they do, let's just play a few snaps. They're bad. You gotta keep getting better offensively, and you've got a good opportunity versus two games here just to A, do that, B, psychologically prove to yourself that you can hang with these teams without the help of the defense. All of that, and not to mention, I still like the idea of potentially getting the 3 seed. And you're not in a position right now. This is not the team where you can just cruise on through the end of the regular season.
Yep. I would agree with that. Here was CJ Stroud asked about the upcoming schedule.
This is going to set us up for, you know, our seeding and, you know, who we play, if we play home or not multiple times, you know. So, you know, our destiny is really in front of us, and, you know, we're able to do what we want to do, you know, to be really great. But at the end of the day, you know, it's all about getting in, and we're able to do that. And, you know, but that's just the start. That's one of our goals. Now we're trying to go get more. And, you know, I think, you know, this team is special enough to do that. So, you know, we got to just be hard on ourselves.
All right. So, yeah, I mean, so CJ's a little more open about the ramifications of the game, the seeding.
Yeah.
That there are 3 games being played in 11 days. D'Amico is, at least to the media, is way more tunnel vision.
Yeah, honestly. And I think
so
that
Chiefs.
However aware D'Amico is of any of the other stuff, the playoff implications or anything, I think he probably feels the same way I do. He just does it with a more positive tone about the fact that this team still needs to improve, and that the best place to improve is against good competition. Yeah. You only get so many opportunities to go against good competition. They've got to keep building on some of the good things they've done, but just figure out some way to make things click a little bit better.
Well,
and if this is the offensive line permutation you're going to go with, I want Blake Fisher to get as many meaningful snaps at tackle as possible. I want Titus Howard, even though he's played guard before, I want him to get a bunch of reps. And
it's Chris Jones.
Even, you know, the run game was frustrating. I'm going to do a breakdown with Drew Hodgson today or tomorrow on the good and the bad run plays. But there were some bad run plays in that game where I'm not as down on the Texans' offensive line. Some of them, there was one circulating on social media yesterday where somebody was saying it was a bad play design, and I don't think it was. It was a really tough block for Jarrett Patterson to make, he had to go out and try to block a head up defensive tackle. Like, that's a hard block to make. You need reps doing that against good defensive linemen, and it wasn't a bad play call or play design or anything like that. They just need to get better.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's a chance to build a little confidence, too. Like, you go into Kansas City, I don't care how you beat them. You beat Kansas City, and then you put up a good showing, maybe beat Baltimore on Christmas Day. Those are two huge wins heading into the post. That you got two huge wins heading into the postseason, 10 days to rest for your final game.
Yeah.
They can handle that Titans game however they want to at that point.
Yeah.
You know, they can treat that like a preseason game if they want to. I would like it that the next time the offense plays football is not, you know, going from December 25th to January the 12th.
Yeah, there's that part of it, too. When the really good teams take, like, the multi-week layoff. I mean, you can cherry-pick whichever one suits your feeling about it, but there have been instances of teams getting multiple weeks off, basically, and then looking very rusty in the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, and this team feels like one that would happen.
Yeah, I'm talking about dominant teams there.
Yeah,
you know, go back to Tampa or what have you.
For sure. This is going back to the opening of the open to the show where we were talking about Patrick Mahomes. If you missed it, if you're just getting in your car, Patrick Mahomes was a full participant in Kansas City's practice yesterday, which that injury report is kind of gospel when it comes to stuff like this. So you predict these plays?
I'm predicting plays.
Yeah.
I think I'm guessing the line adjusted accordingly.
Good question.
Well, as soon as I saw the news that Pat Mahomes is coming back, I checked one book and the game wasn't on their book. So I don't know if they failed it temporarily.
If he plays, there are some books out there that are exposed right now.
Yeah.
Because the line has been
that went in on the Chiefs when it was,
the line has been reflective of Patrick Mahomes not playing at a lot of places, which means you could be getting the Chiefs. There's people out there that have the Chiefs +3 in a game, albeit a likely gimpy Mahomes.
Yeah.
but would be playing at home against a team that has yet to prove itself in an environment like this on the road.
Not to get deep into the gambling side of it, but I'm intrigued by when that line swung as much as it did in the Texans' favor, are there a lot of really smart gamblers who are figuring out ways to straddle that and hedge it?
I'm sure.
And, like, knowing that the line's going to move.
It's KC minus three now.
They become like commodities brokers.
There's a 6-point middle on this game right now. Dude, if you got the Chiefs at plus three, you are laughing right now.
So, but now here's the thing. Texans defense has a reputation for violence.
They do.
Kind of like Russell Crowe in Hollywood Confidential. You know? Okay. Wearing a suit,
I haven't seen that movie.
Okay. Oh, L.A. Confidential? L.A. Confidential. Okay. Yeah.
Still,
it's a good movie.
Is it good?
I watched Gladiator 2 yesterday.
Oh, okay.
I enjoyed it. It's tough because it doesn't hold... In all fairness to the guy that plays the new lead, I don't know who he is. He's probably super famous.
Yeah.
He's no Russell Crowe.
Right.
You know, and I think that's just me. Obviously, I'm biased because of my age and everything. But, Russell Crowe's a great actor. I thought it was a really good movie, but just the acting's not the same as in the first one.
Is there a lineage here? Is he, the son of Russell Crowe?
I don't want to give any spoilers. It follows the same story.
It lives in the same world.
It takes a little while to figure it out. Yeah.
Okay.
But it does, yes. Very much in the same world. It's like... 15 or 20 years after Russell Crowe.
Okay.
Spoiler alert, in Gladiator 1 dies. It follows.
That would have been a spoiler for me like 8 months ago.
Oh, sorry.
Remember?
You can tell from the beginning he's going to die.
Yeah. Remember I hadn't seen Gladiator? And I did. I went and watched it that weekend. And I liked it a lot.
As sequels go, I thought they did a good job of not... You know, sometimes they lean too hard into hey, this is a callback to the first one, remember?
Yeah.
Like, they almost just envision people in the audience going, ooh,
yeah.
I get that reference.
Throw it in your face.
And it almost starts feeling gimmicky.
Yeah.
They did just enough.
Okay.
Just enough.
Yeah. I like that. Lots of
good violence.
Well, I was just saying, speaking of violence is what I was about to say. Text message. I have a strong premonition Mahomes will fake slide just to give us the bird over the Aziz hit. Big middle finger. Mm. He's going to fake slide just to rub it in rub our noses in the fact that we're missing our middle linebacker.
You know who slid a lot last week?
Who?
CJ.
He did.
I thought CJ was...
Were you nervous at all when he was sliding?
I thought he did a pretty good job of getting down on time. There was one Dolphins player that kind of had to glide over the top of him and hit him on his way down. I'm always going to be nervous whenever any quarterback.
He's really
slides.
Good at protecting himself.
He is pretty good.
He takes
at that
a
part
lot of hits, man. Yeah. Takes a lot of hits.
Yeah, he's like, I don't need any more.
Right.
I take enough in the pocket.
Yes.
I'm just going to go ahead and get the hell down.
Yep. Although he didn't take a lot of big hits in the pocket this week.
Protection has improved.
Yeah,
I thought it feels like decades now we've been saying this about the offensive line. It might be a full decade where, hey, you know what? Actually, they're doing okay in pass protection. It's the run blocking that's horrendous.
It's going to be this way forever.
I think it's something. It might have to do something with either the humidity or the pollution or something.
Okay.
I don't know.
That's where we are now with fixing
these guys
the
have
run
all, they all have very high BMIs. And
they do.
Maybe they struggle in that more physically grueling part of the game.
Let's shift gears for a second here. Brian McTaggart was on the MLB Network. Brian McTaggart covers the Astros, covers their beat for MLB.com. We're still kind of sitting and waiting on Alex Bregman. That's the next big shoe to drop here. Tags was asked, what's the master plan for the Astros this offseason?
I think getting Paredes allows them to put him at third base if Bregman does not sign. And they're still in the running to sign Bregman. If they do sign Bregman, which I think is a long shot, you can move Paredes to first base. But they still need to add another bat. Wisniewski's going to come in and help the bottom of that rotation. They definitely needed another arm. Maybe they get a couple of their pitchers back this year healthy. But they cannot lose Kyle Tucker and Alex Bregman and not add another impact bat, whether that's signing Santander, trading for Arenado, moving Paredes to first, signing Christian Walker. There has to be another move, and I think they're working on that. I mean, this just cannot be their offseason because that would be a big step back if they lose those guys and replace them with Paredes.
Feels like we were saying the same thing about first base last year. So I don't always look at it as a foregone conclusion that, of course, they're going to address this. I mean, there's going to be at least one new face in the...
Oh, yeah, yeah, no, yeah. But the difference with last year, obviously, is Kyle Tucker was still on the team.
I know, right, but I'm saying the first base position was like, okay, that felt like you got to address first base. It's
huge
hole.
Right.
You got to address it. You're not really going to roll with Jose Abreu, are you? That was...
I felt like we knew they were just because... he signed and
he's resigned to it.
I mean, look, it took the jaws of life to get him out of the lineup. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Well, like, and he had made.
I think we all agreed that first base sucked going into last season, but I was resigned to the fact that I guess it's going to be Abreu. And Abreu had a good postseason last year, you know?
In September,
So I think your point is well taken on the position being bad.
Whether it's the Texans' interior offensive line or backup running back or whatever, like, we've got multiple instances of teams looking like they should definitely do something about it.
That's a good way to put it.
And they don't do it.
That's right.
You're going to do something about this, right? I'm sure it's that. You know what it is? It's like, hey, kids, listen, good life lesson here. There's a phenomenon that happens when there's a medical emergency where there might be 20 people standing around watching somebody have a medical emergency, and everybody assumes somebody else is going to make the call. So just be the person who makes the call. Whenever you think, like, oh, somebody else surely will do that, just go ahead and do it.
Be the person.
Because the chances are that there's a lot of people standing around assuming exactly what you're assuming.
There was a guy at the Steeler game. Amy and I were leaving the Steeler game last weekend.
Yeah.
There was a dude, as we were leaving the stadium, laying on the sidewalk, and there were 10 people just standing around him.
Yeah.
He was I was looking at him like, Amy, he might be like having a real, like, legit medical episode here. Now, did I become the guy to step in that you're talking about, Seth, to call 911? I think somebody had called 911 at that point.
Yeah.
But nobody was administering anything to him. Like, he was probably drunk.
Uh-huh.
But it was looking like it could have been something else.
Right, yeah.
It was kind of scary, man. It was a little scary.
I was at Bush a few weeks ago in the E terminal, and right down there at the end of E9 or wherever, it's a huge, you know, where it gets really crowded there. Yeah. There's a bunch of United gates.
Yep.
There was a guy, like, screaming at the top of his lungs, yelling for his name. I can't remember the kid's name. Let's say it was Joe. Joe! And he looked crazy. It felt like something you might see when you're walking past the bus station or something.
Like he was on something.
Yeah. And everybody was just kind of standing around trying to figure it. So finally, me and another gentleman walked up to him, kind of like keeping our distance. And because this guy was only screaming one name, Joe. And it turned, he wasn't crazy. He had lost his kid. His kid was nonverbal. I don't know if he's autistic or whatever. So he explained it to us, and, you know, and like then we were able to go find somebody from one of the airlines to work with him. But it was like nobody knew how to handle it. No, it was just so strange and weird.
Well, and the only videos you see from airports nowadays are things like that turning into fisticuffs for some reason.
I feel guilty because part of my thinking was like, I'm going to go up and talk to this guy. And like, there's a good chance this is like going to be some part of a viral video or something.
Yeah.
Like, so you're like trying to keep your distance and everything, but still have a kind of, so, but, yeah.
Did they find his kid?
They did. Do something.
Do something.
If you see something, do something.
Do something. Mm. There you go.
That woman sitting at the bar, you might figure like, oh, she's got to have a boyfriend. Right? Who knows?
You never know.
That's what everybody else is thinking.
Do something.
Go do something.
That's it.
Go talk to that lady.
Good advice, Seth Payne.
But take the cues. You know, don't hover. You know, if she's not,
don't be creepy.
If she's not reciprocating, then walk away.
Then walk away. Go for, get a drink. Headlines coming up next. D'Amico Ryans on the Kansas City Chiefs. Update on Patrick Mahomes. QBs getting benched left and right. We love that. And a trade involving an Astros favorite. Sarcasm font. That's coming up next in headlines.